All right, good evening, everyone. Hopefully everyone is having a blessed evening. As we are, as always, we'd like to say praise the Lord. Thank the Lord yet again for another day in the land of the living and another chance to get our acts together. Today is May 9th, 2024, and week 275. If you're new around here, welcome to Joy in the Midst of the Storm. This is a program where we like to do weekly live stream Bible studies and shortly upload audio versions to every major podcast platform shortly thereafter. If you've been with us for a while, as we always like to say, welcome back. Thank you guys for tuning in and week out, trying to hear what thus says the Lord. As you can see from the title, it says, "It belongs to me." So without any further ado, I'm going to pass it over to Minister Tony Banks. We can go ahead and get started with this evening's message. As always, we pray that you guys get something out of it and also learn how to apply the things learned to our daily lives. So in the hands of Minister Banks.
Thank you, Melvin. Let us go into a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings, Lord. We thank you for how you've continued to watch over us, how you continue to bless us, Lord, how you continue to open our eyes and our ears, our understanding to things that have been hidden in your word since the foundation of the world, Lord. We thank you that you're a God that loves us. You're a God that cares. You're a God that has compassion upon your people, Lord. We thank you that you first loved us. While we were yet in our sins, Lord, you still loved us. You saw something spectacular in us. Even though you declare we are less than nothing, you still saw something in us, and you sent Christ to die for us. So, Lord, we say thank you. Lord, we appreciate you. We magnify you. We uplift your holy name. Lord, we're praying that you would have your way, not only in this Bible study, but in our lives, my God. Lord, that you would just have your way and that you would lead us and that you would guide our footsteps, that you would just direct us in the way that we should go, that we would have the testimony that at the end of our days, we pleased you. Lord, that's our desire, Lord. We're praying that no matter what happens to us in this life, continually remind us that there is a reason to have joy in the midst of every storm. Lord, we're praying that you alone would increase and that we would all decrease. In the mighty name of Jesus, in your tremendous name, Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless each of you. We appreciate you guys for being with us on tonight. Welcome to all of you. I thank God for you being here. I thank God for Melvin being here, my wonderful co-host who makes these things possible. He makes sure to professionally record the audio for you, make sure he puts it on the website, the podcast, all the above. And so we do appreciate that. We do give honor to where honor is due. And we also honor God for making it possible for us to be with you week after week, time after time. God could have saw fit to relieve us of our duties, to put it lightly. But he has continued to make it possible for us to be here. And so I do appreciate him for that. And I do not take it lightly, the blessings that he has given. And so, again, we welcome you. We thank God for you, for all of his mercy and his goodness toward all of us. We want to deal with some things tonight. And Melvin, I did give you a verse, but I do want to flip the script some. And I want to pick up the book of Psalm. I failed to mention that to you, but the book of Psalm 24. And verse 1, Psalm 24 and verse 1. Tonight, we're dealing with some things because I know we all love to own things. God bless me to have a car, and it is a blessing to own a vehicle. It is a blessing to own anything in life. People spend many, many, many years working to own a home, not renting a home, but to own a home. You know, it is a blessing, and people spend work hours, the work week, so that we can own clothing, so that we can own food, so that we can own everything that we possibly can. Now, I understand there are times where people might not want to own something, but the reality is we have a desire to own something. People have pets. And the pet that we have, we don't want to rent the animal. We want to purchase it to own so that we can train the animal up. Some people desire to have animals inside of their home. So you wish to own this animal so you can train the animal to do the things that you want the animal to do, that you can tell the animal to sit down. You can tell the animal to stop making all of that noise, stop barking. You can tell the animal to do certain things. If you want to go outside and play fetch, you can train your dog that you own how to do these things. And so there is so many benefits to owning things in life. We love to own. We love to own. It gives us a sense of power. It gives us a sense of entitlement to know that you own something. Someone says, this is my cell phone. These are my keys. This is my this. This is my that. We like to own things. But I want to challenge you tonight to look at things from a deeper perspective. And though I understand what we are saying, I could hold up my cell phone right here. I won't do it. But if I were to hold it up, I would say, this is my cell phone. But I understand something tonight that I didn't understand many, many years ago. I own nothing. I don't care if it is a title in my name. I don't care if I went to the store and I purchased it with my quote unquote money. The reality is, if we really want to get deep into this thing, if we really want to begin to understand God, the truth of the matter is we own nothing. We own absolutely nothing. Melvin, I want you to read something for us before I continue. I want you to read Psalm 24 and verse 1, because everything that I say, it needs to be validated, and everything you say, it needs to be backed by the scripture. The scripture needs to declare these things for them to be true. Doesn't matter who has a platform, doesn't matter how many people watch or don't watch. What matters is, what does God say about it? So I want to see what God says about this. Psalms 24 and verse 1. Let's see what it says, man.
The earth is the Lord's.
The earth is the Lord's. Hold it right there, man. The earth is the Lord's. So how can I own it? How can it then be my, just because I got a sheet of paper that someone printed out and it says 2 acres belongs to Tony Banks, just because someone prints that out, the book declares the earth, my God, it is the Lord's. Doesn't matter what the title say, doesn't matter what the will says. Many times people, family members pass on and God rest their soul, family members pass on and they leave behind a will. And people want to be included in the will because it's going to provide some ownership. Somebody knows, oh, the house is going to be left to me. Somebody knows that car is going to be left to me. Somebody knows the money that was in the bank account is left to me. Those family, the precious items that the family had and that we cherish those things. It's been handed down for traditions. Somebody knows it's going to be passed down to me. But I want you to really rethink this tonight. I want you to really look at what God himself said. Not me now. He says the earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. You know, they tell me, Melvin, they tell me Christopher Columbus discovered America. He did some good discoveries. He made some good discoveries. That's what they tell me now. If they were to ask me on the questionnaire, if they were to ask me on the quiz, I'd have to put down the answer that I know they're looking for. But I know the Lord discovered this earth. I know he discovered it. It belongs to him. The earth is the Lord. No matter how many acres might be in your possession, no matter how many you have, it is the Lord's, according to the book now. He might be letting you use it. He might be letting you borrow it. But the scripture tells us we ought not think any more of ourselves. Don't think higher of yourself than you ought to. See, sometimes, Melvin, when we begin to own things, we start feeling pretty big then. That's what makes us look at the millionaires, the rich people in the world. We look at them in a different sense because of what they own. We say, wow, they own this nice building. Wow, they've got stores. They've got these facilities in this many states and this many countries. We feel something. We feel good about them. And they've begun to feel good about themselves because of what they own. But I'm calling your attention to something tonight that God has been placing on my heart. The truth is, you own nothing. The truth is, it's all his. Doesn't matter if you worked hard to get it. We'll get to that too. Sometimes people say, well, I worked hard for mine. We'll get to that. I'm trying to take my time tonight. He said, the earth is the Lord's. Read for us, Melvin.
And the fullness thereof.
And the fullness thereof. Not just what's, not just the earth itself. Because somebody will get smart, Melvin. Somebody will say, okay, well, the earth belongs to him, but we'll go over to Mars, and that doesn't belong to him. There's no escape. It all belongs to him, the fullness thereof. Everything that encompasses this earth and everything even outside of this earth, it belongs to him. It all is his. Look, we say we believe God. See, people got it. People have it confused, Melvin. People think believing is in God is just believing God exists. I don't know where that came from, but this is the misconception. Believing in God is believing in Psalm 24 and 1. Believing in God is believing in the Genesis, from Genesis to Revelation. That's what believing in God is. Everything that God himself declares. So tonight, we talked about that last night, believing in Jesus. We're going to believe in what God says. He said the earth is his and the fullness thereof.
The world.
Mm-hmm.
And they that dwell therein.
It's all his. The earth is his, the fullness thereof, the world. Anything you see in this world, it belongs to him. Those nice buildings, even though it might have a person's name on it, it still belongs to God now. Because God has placed it in someone's possession. The oxygen that we breathe is his. The sun that's shining down on us, it is his. We didn't create the sun. We didn't create the moon. It's his. Everything that we have, we are doing nothing but borrowing it from God. But somehow, we have grown in this world. We have developed techniques. We have developed practices. We have developed all types of things. And now we feel We own something around here. See, you act different when you own something, Melvin. You act real different when you own something. When you have a place, even if you don't own it, even if you just rent something, look, even if people just rent something, they act different with that. We feel we can drill holes in all the walls. We can put up whatever pictures we want. We can bring in whatever animals we want. We can do whatever we desire because we feel we own it. We say, well, I'm paying them. I'm paying them $500 worth of rent. I ought to be able to do what I want. Not so fast. When you don't own something, you cannot do what you see fit, what you want, even though for the life of you, you just say, man, I just don't understand why. I don't understand what the problem is with this. It's not hurting anybody. There are places that we can rent from, and they have rules against pets. They have certain requirements that they require. And for the life of us, the pet owners out there, we say, why do they have this big of a problem with my little JoJo? I don't understand why. He doesn't harm anybody. He's a friend of mine. But when you don't own something, the one who does own it, they make the rules. If they don't want JoJo there, JoJo just won't be there. They make the rules. Whether I agree with it personally or not, that is out of my jurisdiction. It's out of my control. It's out of my hands. So now that we have established that, I want you to look at what is it that you truly own. Because in this verse and many, many others, we find that God himself owns it all. He owns it all. How can, you know, Melvin, people show up at jobs. We don't own anything at the job. But somehow we're going to show up and tell the boss how they should run the facility. We don't agree with the rule. We don't agree. Look, I believe I should have a longer lunch break. I believe I shouldn't have to be here this early. We're not busy anyway. We're not doing anything. You don't own it, though. It is not even in your possession. So how can I show up and tell the boss how this business should be run? Me having never owned a business, but now I know how he should run his business. Even though he's been doing it for 20 years now, I've got all these new innovative ideas. See, this is what we're doing with God. He's owned this. He's created this. He built this from nothing. He stood in the beginning, declared the end. He stood in the beginning. And he said, let there be light. He brought in the moon. He brought in the stars. He brought in the galaxies. He brought in everything we needed to survive. He brought in the animals. He brought in the water. He brought in the oceans, the seas. He brought in the clouds. And then he brought in man and woman. And now that we have been brought in here, now we feel, God, I know how to run your business better than you. Because he gave us dominion over some things, we say, I own stuff now. I run this. I run this. Not so fast. It all still belongs to him, even if he gives you dominion over. Even though he might let you reign over some things, he might let you rule over some things, he might put it in your possession, it's still his. And what that means is, I don't make the rules. What that means is I can't do whatever I want with God's creation. The animals that God created, though he gave me dominion, I still have to reign over, rule over those animals within the rules that God set. The people in this world, I have to treat them according to the rules that God set. And furthermore, even with my own body, there are rules that God set. See, we look at ourselves and we think we own ourselves. But I want to get what the Lord says on this. Let's pick it up, Melvin, in the book of 1 Corinthians. And we can probably start in 1 Corinthians 6 and 20. But I might go to chapter 3 as well. 1 Corinthians 6 and 20, though.
For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
We are bought with a price. We're going to go back to verse 19, Melvin. We are bought with a price. You know, that's what slavery was about. People were sold. Regardless of what nationalities, pretty much everybody in this world has been a slave. Every nation under the sun, have been slaves at some point. I don't want to get into the whole slavery thing. But they were bought with a price. Piece of money would get you a servant that would do nothing but come and work for you. We're told in the word of God now. He said, for ye are bought with a price. Our body doesn't actually belong to us. Even though I might feel that way, even though we might think this way, we belong to him. Go up to verse 19, Melvin. Let's see what that one says.
What? Know ye?
What? Hold on, Melvin. What? See, that is a question. What? We think we belong to ourselves. We think everything around us belongs to us. What? We think this. We say it belongs to me. I can think of the commercial, Melvin, we see. It said, called J.G. Wentworth. It's my money and I need it now. Everybody might not be old enough for that, but somebody out there remembers that commercial. It's my money and I need it now. They gave you a number to call so you can get back what belongs to you. My God, we're taught stuff belongs to us. And I get where we're coming from. Now, please don't misunderstand me. There are things that are in our possession. But I want you to look deeper and realize he said, what? Know ye not. Keep reading that for us, Mel. Start over again.
What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?
You are not your own. You don't really belong to you. You really don't have ownership over yourself. He said, you're not your own. Don't you realize? He said, what? See, we've gotten confused in this thing. Don't you realize nothing in this earth belongs to you? How can you show up? This earth has been going on well before you, and if the Lord permits, it's going to go on well after us. And I show up and think I own something? Haven't made anything. I don't care who invented what. don't care who invented electricity. I thank God for them now. But I don't care who invented the car, who invented the plane, the bus, the white man, the black man, whatever man invented it. He said, what? Don't you know? You don't own nothing. Just because you've got some new technology and you think now you're someone, my God. He said, you own nothing here. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, all they that dwell therein, the world and all they that dwell therein. It's not you. Nothing belongs to you. You know, we think because we created something. There are some brilliant minds out here. Where do you think your mind came from? And think you own something. God gives you the thoughts, the desires. He gives you, he allows you to have some imagination so you can seek to create things. These things don't belong to you. Nothing we have, it was all given to us from the very beginning. God, he created Adam from the dust of the ground. He created his brain, his skull, his teeth, his eyes, his hair, his feet, his hands. He created that. How can Adam then say, you know what, I own me? And he had made nothing. How can I then show up and act as if I'm in charge of my body? No, I need to surrender to the will of God. And the rules that God declares he wants me to follow, I need to follow them. I need to follow his rule, regardless of what we might say about it. If God says, you know what, I want you to talk a certain way, who am I to say, oh, he wants to control me? He can control you if he so desires. You didn't create anything. Even if you pick up your hands and work day after day and you come up with some new invention, who do you think gave you your hands? Who gave you the strength over your limb? You know, God can take your strength for the one that thinks they own something. You can wake up tomorrow, my God, the next minute. In the next minute, you can lose every ounce of strength in your body. And you know what they call it? They say, oh, he's paralyzed. They say, oh, he has no strength. He has this disease. He has that disease. He has the palsy. Yet we come up with whatever term. The truth is, God took something back that he gave. God can take your vision, and we call it blindness. We own nothing. Every day we ought to wake up grateful that God is still allowing us to be in the possession of sight, to be in the possession of smell, to be in the possession of hearing, things he can easily take. But we have the audacity to get upset with God because of his rules for his creation. Your body, we read here, he said, you're not your own. So being that this is the case, God can tell us how we should live. He's the captain now. He can tell you what to do, and he expects you to do it. Go back up in this chapter, Melvin. Go back up in this chapter. Let's pick up verse 15.
Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid.
God forbid us do certain things with the body he created. with a body he created, he doesn't want us doing certain things. Who am I to go and do what God forbid? Read for us, Melvin.
What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh.
Look at the way people are dressing. Look at the actions people are getting involved with. He said, two are supposed to be one flesh. You are supposed to get married to do certain things people are doing out here. But everybody's seeing everything people have. They're not even married. What? Know you not? Don't you realize you belong to God? And we're behaving this way. This isn't just about fornication, but that's what he's dealing with here. There's so many things we're doing with the body that God created and put in our possession. He talks to us about the drunkenness. He talks to us about the lying, the cursing, the swearing, all these things. He talked to us about the tattoo. He said, it doesn't belong to you. You can't just do what you want because you like it. You don't belong to yourself. No matter how many times people have told you, oh, you can do whatever you want. Who was that? BK, Burger King. You can have it your way. See, we've been deceived in thinking this. That's not what God said. Look, that's what Burger King said. God didn't say that. He didn't say you can have it your way. He wants to have his way. He counsels of his own will. See, God does what he desires as his pleasure would have it, as he would have it. Flip back in this same chapter, in this same book to chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Pick us up at 16. So we can find the same type of talk. Let's see what it says, Melvin.
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?
God wants to give his Spirit to live in people. Don't get confused now. Everybody does not have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. This is a letter written to the Corinthian church, and he's writing to people who have already had this experience of receiving the Holy Ghost. I don't want to get into that tonight. But he said, don't you realize that God wishes to dwell in you? You know, people think God is at a church building, some brick and mortar building, some wood and concrete building. People wake up, do all the cursing and lying and stealing and everything else we do. And we show up to the church grounds. And now we wish to change our behavior, change the way we talk. You think God is really just sitting at that building? No, he desires to dwell in you. The way you act, once you get to the church, once you're in the church, you're saying, oh, excuse me, oh, I'm sorry. You're trying to correct your behavior. You should be living that way everywhere. He seeks to dwell in you, and there's a price to pay. If you don't do what God is asking, if I used it earlier, if I show up to a job and I try to tell the boss how the job is going to work, how things are going to happen at the job, being I don't own anything, I'll end up fired. They say, man, you've lost your mind if you think you can come in here, having worked here a month, even if you worked here 20 years, you think you can tell us what to do now? You don't realize your position. We better stay in our place when it comes to God. Before you get fired, and you don't want that type of fire, read for us, Melvin, in that next verse.
If any man defile the temple of God.
Read that again for us, Melvin. See, this is God's now. This is God. This is his word. Written by Paul,
If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy.
If you don't treat what God has given you, your body, what he's placed under your leadership, if you defile it, if you use it to do what God told you not to do, God's going to destroy you. See, this is why I'm bringing this to your attention, so that you can treat God's body with respect. You know, used to, people would respect things that somebody else owns. People used to feel that way. If somebody asked you, hey, let me borrow your car, they would take it easy on your car. Now, they might run their car through the mud. They might run it through the ringer, but yours now. Used to, people would respect it. They said, oh, let me take care of Melvin's car. I don't want to damage it. But now, look, people will do your stuff any kind of way. They don't care one bit about yours. Realize that, again, your body is God's. And he will not stand for you running his body into the mud, you running his creation into the ground. He said, if any man, doesn't matter who the man is, doesn't matter who the woman is, doesn't matter how many people look up to you, doesn't matter your accolades. We're so proud about how we went to school and accomplished this and accomplished that. I went to school. That's good. God doesn't care about my schooling. If I get doctor in front of my name, he doesn't care about that. He doesn't care if my name is Lawyer Banks, District Attorney Banks. These titles have puffed us up, and now we think we own something we truly don't. If any man defile the temple of God, him, God's going to destroy him. I don't have to get involved. I won't get involved. Look, he told us in the Old Testament, he told us not to get tattoos. People think because they get a scripture tattooed on them, surely God is pleased with that. How can you tell the one that owns it what to accept? He tells us to wait to marriage. People say, I don't think I need to do that. I think it makes more sense if I test the car before I drive. How can you tell the one who created your body? People say, is nothing wrong with you getting drunk? That's not what the Lord said. He said we need to be hearing the word day and night, meditating on the word. How can you tell the one who created your body? He created your ears. And we tell God, I don't think my ears need to hear the word of God. Look, I've heard it enough. My ears don't need to hear it. I already know. My God, help us. We think something belongs to us, and it really doesn't. The devil has gotten us deceived. You know, that's what the devil did with Jesus. He tried to deceive him. Now, it's working on us. But he tried to deceive Jesus. He took him up to the pinnacle of the temple. He showed him even on the mountain. He showed him all that the world had to offer. He said, look out there. There's some beautiful things out there. Look at all the creations in the earth. He took them to the city. See, people love to be in the city. People want to be in the city, Melvin, because they say, oh, it's nothing to do in the country. Excuse me.
Bless you.
So, thank you. So the devil took him and allowed him to view all of the earth's wonderful creations. And the devil told him, if you would just bow down and worship me. He said, I will give it to you. Brother, I'll give it. I'll put it in your possession. You can own something now. And that's what we're falling for. The devil is allowing us to gain some things, and we truly feel, I own this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Everything Jesus owned, he realized it really was God. He realized, I don't really own anything. It belongs to God. I don't want you to be destroyed. See, if God turns his back on you and desires to destroy you, there's nothing anybody can do. This happened to the rich man who built his barn. The Bible said his ground brought forth plentifully, plenteous. He had so much. He said, I will tear down my barns. He said, this stuff is mine. He said, I'll tear mine down. I don't know what else to do with mine. I've run out of space. I will build me bigger barns so that I can tell my soul, so that I can sit back and kick my feet up and say, man, I've arrived. I've made it. And then I can just take it easy for the rest of my day. God came to him in the night and said, thou fool, brother, none of that stuff belongs to you. Thou fool, tonight your soul is required of you. And what's going to happen to all of those things that you thought were yours? Who's it going to be in possession of now? Who's going to possess it now? You don't really own nothing. Naked we came in this world. Naked we're going to leave. You came in with nothing. Look, I've heard of stories. People tell me they're putting all types of things in folks' caskets. You can be a millionaire. Now, I don't want to give anybody any ideas, but you'd be a millionaire if you just got the things out of people's caskets. And in fact, I've heard of people doing it. People going and stealing out of people's caskets. But you know, I want to make these things make sense to you. You're wasting your time. Now, if you want to do it, so be it. That's your business. I have nothing to do with it. But why waste your money putting all of these things in somebody's casket? We're going to put all of these precious things, stuff that can help you in your life, we're going to put it in the casket. Expensive things, expensive items. The book declares they're going to leave here naked, you with nothing. You can go back and dig up somebody's grave and their casket 1,000 years from now, it'll still be in there. That person still doesn't have it. Give people things while they're here. Bless people and help people while we're here. Put it in our possession while we're here. And remember, nothing belongs to you. If we defile the temple of God, he'll destroy us. Read that next verse for us, Melvin. I got to wrap it up.
Let no man Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise.
Mm-hmm. He's trying to explain the same thing we're dealing with. He said, don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. You don't own anything. If you disobey God with the body he gave you, with the strength he gave you, with the breath he gave you, with the money he put in your possession, with the home, the trailer home, the mansion, whatever you live in, he put it in your possession. If you don't do what God asks you to do with those things, he'll destroy you. He will destroy you. Don't let anybody deceive you in this. That's why we're having these Bible studies. I don't want you to be tricked. I want you to be saved. But you won't be saved if we feel everything belongs to God. Blesses us. Many of us have been blessed to have children. That child is not yours. That child belongs to God. We know this is why God told Abraham to offer up his son. God was asking him to give up something that already belonged to him. Isaac already belonged to God. God wanted to see Abraham, are you willing to give me back something I already own? Are you willing to be obedient? That's what he's looking for tonight. Obedience. That's what true faith is. We're talking about faith. We don't have faith if we're not obedient to God. Give him back what he already owns. Because I don't own a single thing in this life. And it becomes so much easier for me to love people, for me to help people when I realize I don't own anything. But as long as I think it's me and mine, it makes it so hard for me to help anybody. Because I'm just looking at me, my bank account, my this, my that. Only until I realize it belongs to the Lord. May God bless you. May God continue to strengthen you. May God help you to realize it belongs to him. And I pray that you would treat his possessions accordingly at this time into the hands of Mel.
Thank you, Minister Banks. Great message as always. And I don't have that much to add because it was a great message. But what I would like to remind everyone of, Tony mentioned earlier that in this chapter, but I know it was in this book, when Paul said the Holy Spirit, which is in you, and he said not everyone has it, and that's true. So I would like to have a friendly reminder, or give a friendly reminder, if you have not been baptized in the name of Jesus and have been filled with the gift of the precious gift of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues, I advise that you do that, because both of those things, no matter what anyone says, are a requirement. I remember I almost messed myself up a lot of years ago reading these so-called Bible plans, and I wanted to read one on baptism, and the very first thing it said was, first off, you do not have to get baptized. It is just an outward show of your life in Christ. So we must be careful of the things that we feed ourselves, because I'm glad that I knew that that was false, but a lot of other people may not know that. So I would always like to remind everyone whenever I think about it, because I know not every message is about that, but those things, that's the foundation. And we have so many messages on that. Look at search baptism or search born again, Holy Ghost, whatever term you can think of, you'll be able to find it on our website at jmsbible.com. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. As my weekly reminder to you guys, we do have Zoom Bible studies every Monday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And as I always like to say, rejoice in the Lord always, because today's tribulations are tomorrow's testimonies. Count it all joy, count it all joy, and again, count it all joy. There's reason to be joyful in the midst of every single storm. The Lord blesses and says the same. We'll see you guys next Thursday evening live with another topic coming straight from the Word of God. So until then, you guys have a happy, safe, and blessed weekend. And thank you so much once again for tuning in. Thank you for listening to our weekly Bible study podcast. We hope you enjoyed this evening's message. My name is Melvin Corners, here along with Minister Tony Banks. You can catch these Bible studies live on Facebook every Thursday evening at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time at facebook.com/JMSBible. We have Zoom Bible studies every Monday evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Also, check out our website at jmsbible.com. there, you can listen to all of our in-person, Zoom, and live stream messages along with every scripture we've ever covered. Lastly, we have been getting a lot of questions about how people can donate. We have finally opened up a Cash App if you find it in your heart to leave a donation, because running these Bible studies takes money, which Tony and I have been paying since we first started. That name is $JoyStorm12. We appreciate each and every single donation, no matter how small. And remember to rejoice in the Lord always.